The position and discussion of Srimati Radharani is not something that is bandied about. In fact, you may know that sometimes devotees, during kirtan, they would start chanting Jai Radhe and Shri Prabhupada. Wouldn't like that. Because it's the most exalted subject matter. And not to be treated lightly. Of course, today is Srimati Radharani's appearance day, so we are chanting her glories, but with great restraint and understanding our position. It is not easy to speak about Srimati Radharani's glories when we have an audience of so many different types of persons, everything from guests to older devotees and in between. So, in any case, we'll try to do our best, and we'll read from Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is the graduate study to even Srimad Bhagavatam. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita, you fully are presented with the glories of Srimati Radharani, because Lord Chaitanya is Krishna coming in the mood of Srimati Radharani. Krishna and Radharani, they are one as two for enjoyment. Just like you cannot separate the heat from fire, similarly you cannot separate Krishna's pleasure potency from him. So, Radha, Krishna, they're actually one. But they are two for the purpose of pleasure. And that pleasure of Radha Krishna cannot be understood with our material senses, because as soon as we think of pleasure and bodies, we immediately think of the perverted experiences of this material world with its temporary bodies. And then the whole thing becomes lost, the whole understanding becomes lost. Therefore, Radha Krishna's subject matter is to be approached very carefully. We'll read from the different sections of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Those of you who have never looked at Chaitanya Charitamrita, hopefully you'll be inspired to do so. Hopefully you'll be inspired to read Bhagavad Gita, Krishna book, Nectar Devotion, read some Srimad Bhagavatam, so that you can begin to approach Chaitanya Charitamrita. Srila Prabhupada started to translate Chaitanya Charitamrita and make it available to devotees about the time he had reached the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. You see, the first two cantos of Bhagavatam are like Krishna's lotus feet, and the tenth canto is Krishna's face. So, the devotees, they had already had the first couple of cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam for some years. This is a summary of chapter 4. In this chapter of the epic Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has stressed that Lord Chaitanya appeared for three principal purposes of his own. The first purpose was to relish the position of Srimati Radharani, who is the prime reciprocator of transcendental love of Sri Krishna. Lord Krishna is the reservoir of transcendental loving transactions with Srimati Radharani. The subject of those loving transactions is the Lord himself. You just listen. There's no question taking notes. The subject of those loving transactions is the Lord himself, and Radharani is the object. Thus the subject, the Lord, wanted to relish the loving mellow in the position of the object, Radharani. The second reason for his appearance was to understand the transcendental mellow of himself. Lord Krishna is all sweetness. Radharani's attraction for Krishna is sublime. And to experience that attraction and understand the transcendental sweetness of himself, he accepted the mentality of Radharani. The third reason that Lord Chaitanya appeared was to enjoy the bliss tasted by Radharani. The Lord thought that undoubtedly Radharani enjoyed his company, and he enjoyed the company of Radharani. But the exchange of transcendental mellow between the spiritual couple was more pleasing to Srimati Radharani than to Sri Krishna. Radharani felt more transcendental pleasure in the company of Krishna than he could understand without taking her position. But for Sri Krishna to enjoy in the position of Srimati Radharani was impossible, because that position was completely foreign to him. Krishna is the transcendental male, and Radharani is the transcendental female. Therefore, to know the transcendental pleasure of loving Krishna, Lord Krishna himself appeared as Lord Chaitanya, accepting the emotions and bodily luster of Srimati Radharani. So, you can meditate on these three reasons, the confidential reasons of Lord Chaitanya's appearance. You are worshipping Lord Chaitanya here, Lord Nityananda. And it certainly is much easier to understand Radharani by approaching Lord Chaitanya, especially in this degraded age of Kali where everyone is addicted to such abominable activities. Without the blessings of Lord Chaitanya, it is not possible to make any spiritual advancement in the age of Kali. And of course, more merciful than Lord Chaitanya is Lord Nityananda. So you have Gaur Nitai here, and therefore we can approach Krishna as Lord Chaitanya, because Lord Chaitanya is Krishna coming to taste the position of Srimati Radharani. As Prabhupada explains here, Radharani is the object of Krishna's love. But Krishna wanted to taste that position. What's it like to be the object? In other words, what's it like to be a devotee? Because of all Krishna's devotees, Srimati Radharani is most preeminently qualified to attract Krishna. Krishna is attracted by devotion, devotional service. That is the goal of bhakti yoga, that we make our service so pleasing that Krishna relishes it. Krishna cannot be conquered by anything other than devotion. So the best one at rendering devotion to Krishna is Srimati Radharani. She is qualified with everything to attract Krishna. Therefore, devotees try for the mercy of Srimati Radharani because she recommends devotees to Krishna. She's in charge of devotional service. So, the first reason is that Krishna wanted to see what it's like to be the object, not just the subject. He wanted to take the position of Srimati Radharani. How is she feeling? The second reason for his appearance was to understand the transcendental mellow of himself. In other words, Krishna is thinking, what is it in me that Srimati Radharani is tasting? What are my qualities like? Prabhupada writes here, Lord Krishna is all sweetness. Radharani's attraction for Krishna is sublime. And to experience that attraction and to understand the transcendental sweetness of himself, he accepted the mentality of Radharani. What is it in me that Srimati Radharani is tasting? Krishna is thinking like that. What are my qualities like? So for that reason, he came as Lord Chaitanya. The third reason that Lord Chaitanya appeared was to enjoy the bliss tasted by Radharani. So Krishna is thinking, what is the happiness that Srimati Radharani feels in her love of me? I want to experience that. And Krishna is thinking, she's enjoying more than me in this relationship. The exchange of transcendental mellow between the spiritual couple was more pleasing to Srimati Radharani than to Sri Krishna. So, Prabhupada writes here that Krishna could understand, without taking her position, Radharani felt more transcendental pleasure in the company of Krishna than Krishna could understand without taking her position. But for Sri Krishna to enjoy in the position of Srimati Radharani was impossible, because that position was completely foreign to him. So you're saying, oh, something is impossible for Krishna? Then how can he be the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Impossible, but then not impossible. To get the inconceivable job done of experiencing the pleasure that Srimati Radharani experiences, Krishna comes as Lord Chaitanya and makes it possible. And thereby, Krishna keeps his position as a supreme enjoyer intact. He's thinking, in our relationship, she's enjoying more. She's getting more happiness. What is this superior happiness that she's tasting, even more than mine? Let me come as her, and then I'll experience the happiness she's getting. So in this way, Krishna is always the supreme enjoyer. But when he comes as Srimati Radharani, he's coming in the mood of the enjoyed, and he's always crying out in separation from Krishna. So one important thing that we should understand is the difference between lust and love. That is very wonderfully described in this chapter. The love of the gopis is called Rudha Bhava. It is pure and spotless. It is not at any time lust. Purport. As already explained, the position of the gopis in their loving dealings with Krishna is transcendental. Their emotion is called Rudha Bhava. Although it is apparently like mundane sex, we should not confuse it with mundane sexual love, for it is pure and unadulterated love of Godhead. The pure love of the gopis has become celebrated by the name lust. The dear devotees of the Lord, headed by Sri Uddhava, desire to taste that love. It's a verse from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Chaitanya Charitamrita is full of, it's like a mine full of jewels from all different scriptures. Very inconceivably brilliantly woven together. Lust and love have different characteristics, just as iron and gold have different natures. Purport. One should try to discriminate between sexual love and pure love, for they belong to different categories, with a gulf of difference between them. They are as different from one another as iron is from gold. So once again, remember that in the loving affairs of Krishna, there's nothing of the physiological stuff that we know about. None of this procreative stuff. Nothing like that goes on in the spiritual world. There's no matter in the spiritual world, so there's no biology or biological affairs like we know about. Just forget it. The desire to gratify one's own senses is kama, lust. But the desire to please the senses of Lord Krishna is prema, love. Purport. The revealed scriptures describe pure love as follows. If there is ample reason for the dissolution of a conjugal relationship, and yet such a dissolution does not take place, such a relationship of intimate love is called pure. The predominated gopis were bound to Krishna in such pure love. For them, there was no question of sexual love based on sense gratification. Their only engagement in life was to see Krishna happy in all respects, regardless of their own personal interests. They dedicated their souls only for the satisfaction of the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. There was not the slightest tinge of sexual love between the gopis and Krishna. So, Krishna's cowherd damsels, they never asked Krishna for anything for themselves. And they, not only did they not ask anything for themselves, but they never thought they needed something for themselves. They simply wanted Krishna. But their wanting Krishna is not to satisfy their senses. This is a very subtle but huge point we should understand. Their wanting Krishna is to give pleasure to Krishna. So it's not that they were wanting other things, but they just didn't ask for it. No. They never asked for anything for themselves, and they never felt the need to ask for anything for themselves. This is the super excellent standard of devotion as practiced by the cowherd girls of Vrindavan. The author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita asserts with authority that sexual love is a matter of personal sense enjoyment. All the regular principles in the Vedas pertaining to desires for popularity, fatherhood, wealth, and so on are different phases of sense gratification. Acts of sense gratification may be performed under the cover of public welfare, nationalism, religion, altruism, ethical codes, biblical codes, health directives, fruit of action, bashfulness, tolerance, personal comfort, liberation from material bondage, progress, family affection, or fear of social ostracism or legal punishment. But all these categories are different subdivisions of one substance, sense gratification. All such good acts are performed basically for one's own sense gratification, for no one can sacrifice his personal interests while discharging these much advertised moral and religious principles. These are very deep points, points which sometimes people have difficulty with in approaching Krishna consciousness. What actually is sense gratification? The Krishna conscious view has the most expansive definition of sense gratification. Generally, people think that sense gratification, oh, that must just be, you know, boy-girl stuff. But the spiritual authorities, like Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita, they can show how every aspect of material life is sense gratification. So you get this long list here, from welfare activities to nationalism to family affection to progress, even liberation from material bondage. They're all just considered subdivisions of the same one substance, sense gratification. All such good acts are performed basically for one's own sense gratification, for no one can sacrifice his personal interest while discharging these much advertised moral and religious principles. But above all this is a transcendental stage in which one feels himself to be only an eternal servitor of Krishna, the absolute personality of Godhead. All acts performed in this sense of servitude are called pure love of God, because they are performed for the absolute sense gratification of Sri Krishna. However, any act performed for the purpose of enjoying its fruits or results is an act of sense gratification. Such actions are visible sometimes in gross and sometimes in subtle forms. Sometimes we forget that we're here to develop love of God. Krishna consciousness means we have an opportunity to become pure lovers of Krishna. There is something known as pure love of Godhead. So first you've got to come out of the darkness and understand there is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then we start to find out there are methods to develop a relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the culmination of that relationship is unadulterated pure love of Krishna, in which the devotee has not even the slightest subtle desire for his own happiness. The devotee simply cares for Krishna's happiness. Of course, we are part of Krishna. Therefore, Krishna's happiness includes us. But in conditioned life, this point is very bewildering to us. How is it that if I serve Krishna, I'll also be taken care of? That's why materialists can't understand the life of a devotee. They think, what are you people doing for yourselves? How can you injure yourself like this, not doing anything for yourself? Strive, get ahead, enjoy, or whatever, just do something for yourself. Whenever someone's having a tough time and they go to a psychiatrist, that's the first thing the psychiatrist tell you. You've just got to do something for yourself. That'll fix everything. Decide what you really want and start doing it. We'll help you. We'll make a program to find out who you are in terms of your desires and how to do them without impediments. How it is that we can be happy simply by serving Krishna. Very hard for us to understand in our stage when we're covered by lust and greed. Now, you must understand that when Krishna's intimate devotees are loving him, they're not thinking, well, we're part of Krishna, so if we love Krishna, we're going to be happy too. They don't even think that, although that's correct. They're far beyond that. They're simply caught up in attraction to Krishna, wanting to satisfy Krishna. They don't even care about themselves. There's no calculation in it whatsoever, not even spiritual calculation. Okay, we'll serve Krishna's senses because we're part of Krishna. We'll enjoy too. No, they don't even think like that. They just render service to Krishna's senses because they have pure love. They just want to see Krishna satisfied. And all their behavior is simply to give Krishna pleasure, not themselves. The object of lust is only the enjoyment of one's own senses. But love caters to the enjoyment of Lord Krishna, and thus it is very powerful. Social customs, scriptural injunctions, bodily demands, fruit of activity, shyness, patience, bodily pleasures, self-gratification, and the path of Varnashram Dharma, which is difficult to give up. The gopis have forsaken all these, as well as their own relatives and their punishment and scolding, for the sake of serving Lord Krishna. They render loving service to him for the sake of his enjoyment. So in the spiritual world, you'll find that there is something called Parakya Ras and Swakya Ras. Krishna, he has his queens. They're married. That you'll find in Vaikuntha. But in Krishna's confidential section of the spiritual world, in Braja, Vrindavan, Krishna has his Parakya Ras, his loving exchanges with unmarried girls. Why does Krishna do it that way? As we said last night, everyone and everything belongs to Krishna, so he's not trespassing. There's no moral trespass. Krishna is morality. Everything belongs to him. So he does it that way in Vraja because it's more exciting. It's also more stimulating for the devotee to sacrifice everything for Krishna's pleasure, even social injunctions, relatives, family. So when Krishna plays his flute in the middle of the night and the cowherd girls leave their homes and husbands and families and without caring for Vedic injunctions go to the forest, this is the height of exciting enjoyment. And Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. But there's no question of moral trespass because everything belongs to Krishna. Even the persons who are pretending to be the husbands of the gopis, they're also Krishna's energy. These things scholars cannot understand. Therefore, when they write their books about Krishna's pastimes, they commit so many offenses. As we were saying, they write that Krishna is the Hindu love god who does immoral things. Now, there's no question of immorality for Krishna. Everything belongs to him. That is called firm attachment to Lord Krishna. It is spotlessly pure, like a clean cloth that has no stain. Purport. The author of Sita Dhanacharitamrita advises everyone to give up all engagements of sense gratification and, like the gopis, dovetail oneself entirely with the will of the Supreme Lord. That is the ultimate instruction of Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. We should be prepared to do anything and everything to please the Lord, even at the risk of violating the Vedic principles or ethical laws. That is the standard of love of Godhead. Such activities in pure love of Godhead are as spotless as white linen that has been completely washed. We get a warning from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur warns us in this connection that we should not mistakenly think that the idea of giving up everything implies the renunciation of duties necessary in relation to the body and mind. Even such duties are not sense gratification if they are undertaken in a spirit of service to Krishna. So you see, Krishna consciousness takes a bit of a brain. Generally, devotees, they go one extreme or the other. But to hit the mark right on, it takes empowered intelligence. And bhakti yoga is meant for developing empowered intelligence. So just so you don't have any misunderstanding, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's warning, don't mistakenly think that giving up everything means you don't look after necessities in relation to the body and mind. Even such duties are not sense gratification if they are undertaken in the spirit of service to Krishna. So these things have to be understood with great care. What is actual renunciation? We'll read later that the gopis, they did not give up dressing. But why were they dressing? They were dressing for Krishna's pleasure. They wanted Krishna to enjoy by seeing them. That was the only reason they dressed nicely. Therefore, lust and love are quite different. Lust is like dense darkness, but love is like the bright sun. Thus, there is not the slightest taint of lust in the gopis' love. Their relationship with Krishna is only for the sake of his enjoyment. So we have to think about those things. Something only for the sake of Krishna's enjoyment. Especially we have to think how lust is like dense darkness. This material world presents the dense darkness of lust as the all in all, the goal, the everything. But we're finding out that it is love of Krishna that is like the bright sun. Krishna consciousness is a path from the dense darkness of lust to the bright sun of pure love of God. We should not neglect to talk about pure love of Krishna. That's what Lord Chaitanya came to give. It exists. Sometimes we even forget to mention it. It is not impossible to attain. That is why Lord Chaitanya came in the mood of Srimati Radharani. To taste that position, to taste her happiness, and to taste the qualities of Krishna, and also to distribute pure love of Krishna. So we should become acquainted with what Lord Chaitanya is distributing, and what we ourselves are distributing, whether we know it or not. This is a verse from the Bhagavatam, spoken by the gopis when Krishna left them in the midst of the Rasa Leela. O dearly beloved, your lotus feet are so soft that we place them gently on our breasts, fearing that your feet will be hurt. Our life rests only in you. Our minds, therefore, are filled with anxiety that your tender feet might be wounded by pebbles as you roam about on the forest path. The gopis do not care for their own pleasures or pains. All their physical and mental activities are directed toward offering enjoyment to Lord Krishna. That is the result of bhakti yoga when done properly. The whole process of bhakti yoga focuses your mind and body simply on offering pleasure to Krishna. We have to be trained up again in our original capacity. Originally, we are pure servants of Krishna, but we've forgotten so much of that. We're so deep in the dense darkness of lust that it takes a major reformation to get us back on track and learn how to offer all our activities for Krishna's pleasure. The gopis renounced everything for Krishna. They have pure attachment to giving Krishna pleasure. This is a very important point. We do have attachment in Krishna consciousness. Materialists look and see, what are you attached to? What are you doing? What's the pleasure in your life? You follow those four regular principles. How do you enjoy? You must be empty. Particularly New Age therapists and New Age this is and that. They always look, you guys must be empty, hollow inside. Where's the emotions? You're not going with the flow. In other words, you're not going down the drain of Kali Yuga. You're not going with the flow. What is it about you? You're just denying yourself. You're hollow. You have no inner dynamics. Because you're not engaged in sense gratification, you have no inner dynamics. That's their conclusion. We do have attachment. And we do have a vibrant internal life. But what is that vibrant internal life? Giving pleasure to Krishna. That is far superior than mucking about in the material world. But the power of Maya, the illusory energy of Krishna, makes the decadent activities of material life seem so expansive, so rich. And we get cheated and bewildered again and again by this illusion. Therefore, it's very necessary to hear, by hearing about Krishna, by hearing Chaitanya Charitamrita, you can lose your diseased fascination with matter. Another verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken by Lord Krishna when he returned to the arena of the Rasa Leela. O my beloved gopis, you have renounced social customs, scriptural injunctions, and your relatives for my sake. I disappeared behind you only to increase your concentration upon me. Since I disappeared for your benefit, you should not be displeased with me. It's very hard for us to understand how much the gopis sacrifice for Krishna, because this society today doesn't even have conventional morality. Krishna consciousness is far beyond conventional morality, yet people today can't even understand conventional morality. the gopis to leave their homes in the middle of the night. It's like death for a young girl from the viewpoint of conventional morality. Now try to understand, in the spiritual world there's no conventional morality, yet the whole scene is there for Krishna's pleasure. So the Vedic standard is, if a girl goes out of the house alone in the evening or night, no one will marry her. Because they know, what's a girl doing going out alone at night for? Nowadays that would be considered very barbaric. What's wrong with a girl going out at night? Especially the men, they like that. Yeah, come on! Everybody, go on out at night! Be liberated, be free for us. But in Vedic culture, civilized human culture, ladies do not expose themselves in any way. Modern women think, oh, that is slavery, that is deprivation. And of course the men agree, yes, yes. Slavery, deprivation. Make yourself available. Yes. So we cannot understand, even from the viewpoint of conventional morality, the great sacrifice the gopis made in leaving their homes and heading out in the dead of the night to the forest with Krishna. And then when they got there, what did Krishna say? What are you all doing here? Did you come to look at the forest? The beauty of the forest? Why don't you just go back home? Lord Krishna has a promise from before to reciprocate with his devotees according to the way they worship him. In whatever way my devotees surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects, O son of Pritha. That verse is from Bhagavad Gita. Purport. Krishna was never ungrateful to the gopis, for as he declares to Arjuna in this verse from Bhagavad Gita, he reciprocates with his devotees in proportion to the transcendental loving service they render unto him. Everyone follows the path that leads towards him, but there are different degrees of progress on that path, and the Lord is realized in proportion to one's advancement. The path is one, but the progress in approaching the ultimate goal is different, and therefore the proportion of realization of this goal, namely the absolute personality of Godhead, is also different. Many times people say that, oh, whatever you're doing, we're all on the path. Whatever you believe, however you live, we're all on the path. Well, that's true. Everyone is on Krishna's path, but some people are going forward, some backwards. Some have stalled. So everything is Krishna's energy. So in that sense, everyone's on the same path. But everyone is differently situated on the path. They're even going in different directions. Some are going towards Krishna. Some are running away. Also, whenever people say that everyone's on the same path, why don't you ask them, well, what's the goal of the path? Where's the path leading? Oh, I don't know. But just everyone's on the path. So this is the dense darkness of lust. Means no brains. The gopis attain the highest goal, and Lord Chaitanya affirmed that there is no higher method of worshiping God than that followed by the gopis. That includes also the older cowherd ladies of Vrindavan, Mother Yasoda, and those who have paternal love, parental love of Krishna. And it, of course, includes the young cowherd girls of Vrindavan, the gopis, the young gopis. That promise has been broken by the worship of the gopis, as Lord Krishna himself admits. In other words, Krishna says in the Gita, as you surrender to me, I'll reward you accordingly. But the gopis' love was so intense that it seems Krishna is not able to keep that promise. It seems that he's not able to reciprocate their love because it's so inconceivably fine. In the Bhagavatam, when Krishna returns to the gopis, on hearing their songs of separation, he said this, "O gopis, I am not able to repay my debt for your spotless service, even within the lifetime of Brahma. Your connection with me is beyond reproach. You have worshipped me, cutting off all domestic ties, which are difficult to break. Therefore, please let your own glorious deeds be your compensation." Krishna is telling him, just be satisfied with your service. Now, is that a ripoff? I can't repay you, just be satisfied with your service? No. The opportunity to render service to Krishna is the highest thing. But, furthermore, Krishna gave him a special bonus. He said, I can't repay you, your love is so great, I've said, as you surrender to me, I reward you accordingly, but now I can't reciprocate, your love is so fine. So just be satisfied with your service. Okay, that in and of itself is a reward. But then there's a bonus. What was Krishna's bonus? He left them. So that they could experience love of Krishna in separation, which is the highest reward. And it is that love of Krishna in separation that Lord Chaitanya particularly came to taste. Vipralamba Seva. That's why when you sing prayers to the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, you notice in those prayers by Srinivasacharya, the six Goswamis, Rupa, Sanatan, Raghunath Das, Raghunath Bhat, Gopal Bhat, they never said, we've met Krishna. Now we have achieved Krishna. No, they were always searching, where is Krishna? Their mission was never fulfilled. But does that mean they lost out? No. That is the perfection of Krishna consciousness, love of Krishna in separation. They never thought, now we have attained Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya came to experience love of Krishna in separation. The same mood that Srimati Radharani felt when Krishna left Vrindavan for Mathura. The same mood that Uddhava examined when he was sent by Krishna to go from Mathura, go from Dwarka rather, to Vrindavan to study the love of the residents of Vrindavan. So Uddhava noticed the particular mood of the gopis. He studied it, and particularly he noticed the mood of Srimati Radharani in the Brahmara Leela, her speaking to the bumblebee. The section of the Bhagavatam called the Brahmara Gita, song to the bumblebee. So Uddhava was studying all that, and he concluded, there is nothing like this. And he prayed, just let me become grass on the ground under the feet of the gopis. Their love for Krishna is so extraordinary. So that love that Uddhava was studying in the gopis and Srimati Radharani, Lord Chaitanya came in to taste that mood. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna coming in the mood of separation from Krishna. To do that, he had to take the position of Srimati Radharani. Therefore, although Krishna is blackish, when he comes as Lord Chaitanya, he's golden because he's covered with the mood of Srimati Radharani. Now, whatever affection we see the gopis show in their own bodies, know it for certain to be only for the sake of Lord Krishna. Purport. The selfless love of Godhead exhibited by the gopis cannot have any parallel. We should not, therefore, misunderstand the carefulness of the gopis in their personal direction, in their personal decoration. The gopis dress themselves as beautifully as possible just to make Krishna happy by seeing them. They had no ulterior desires. They dedicated their bodies and everything they possessed to the service of Sri Krishna, taking for granted that their bodies were meant for his enjoyment. They dressed themselves on the understanding that Krishna would be very happy by seeing and touching them. The gopis sing, I have offered this body to Lord Krishna. He is its owner, and it brings him enjoyment. Krishna finds joy in seeing and touching this body. It is for this reason that they cleanse and decorate their bodies. This is a verse from the Adi Purana. O Arjuna, there are no greater receptacles of deep love for me than the gopis, who cleanse and decorate their bodies because they consider them mine. There is another wonderful feature of the emotion of the gopis. Its power is beyond the comprehension of the intelligence. When the gopis see Lord Krishna, they derive unbounded bliss, although they have no desire for such pleasure. So now you try to meditate on that point. Although Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says it's beyond the power of your comprehension, still you can try to meditate on it. The gopis, headed by Srimati Radharani, derive unlimited bliss, but they have no desire for happiness. How can that be? How do you derive unlimited bliss and you have no desire for it? It just seems natural. Happiness and desire goes together. That's the story of our so-called Western civilization. That's the story of any material society. It's the story even of Vedic culture. But Krishna consciousness is transcendental. And the gopis, they have the highest Krishna consciousness. Therefore, although they're getting inconceivably immeasurable pleasure, they don't have the slightest desire for pleasure. How can that be? If you can understand that, you can start to understand the mystery of Krishna consciousness. And that's what this chapter is giving you a deep look into, the mystery of bhakti. Until we start grasping these points, we start having a little difficulty as we push on in Krishna consciousness. Where's the happiness? What's it really all about? That's why you have Chaitanya Charitamrita, to teach you what it really is all about. And even though we may have to situate ourselves in various ways to make progress towards this goal, we should always understand what the goal is, and that's done by hearing. That's why Prabhupada has given us these books. The gopis taste the pleasure 10 million times greater than the pleasure Lord Krishna derives from seeing them. Purport. The wonderful characteristics of the gopis are beyond imagination. They have no desire for personal satisfaction. Yet when Krishna is happy by seeing them, that happiness of Krishna makes the gopis a million times more happy than Krishna himself. The gopis have no inclination for their own enjoyment, and yet their joy increases. That is indeed a contradiction. This is why you should never wonder why materialists can't understand Krishna consciousness. There is a contradiction. Now, even though we may not be advanced enough in Krishna consciousness to live this contradiction, still some tinge of it is there in our life. And sometimes devotees, they start getting trouble because of this. Not only the materialists get bewildered, but sometimes when devotees are not sharp in their hearing and chanting, they start to get troubled by this contradiction. How can there be pleasure when you don't have any inclination for pleasure? So, you start to speculate. Well, look, the only way I'm going to be happy is I've got to start desiring to be happy. We lose sight of what pure love of God is. Now, although we may not be advanced enough to feel we are situated in love of God, at least we should hear about it. And it's a great mistake of our devotees to stop hearing about pure love of God. That's why Prabhupada has given us Chaitanya Charitamrita. But these days, how many of us study Srimad Bhagavatam? What to speak of Chaitanya Charitamrita? It takes commitment to hear this subject matter. It takes time. So therefore, if you're interested, you have to mold your life in that way. The gopis have no inclination for their own enjoyment, and yet their joy increases. That is indeed a contradiction. Now you see, this problem we're speaking about, it particularly afflicts devotees who've been around for a while. After so many years go by, they just start wondering, wait a minute, I've lost track of something. Now instead of thinking, I've lost track of what pure love of God is, they think, I've lost track of my own happiness, my own self. Therefore, there's only one solution. I've got to start going for some material enjoyment. No, the solution is we have to start hearing more about Krishna's enjoyment. Bhakti yoga requires constant watering by the hearing process. When we hear about the gopis' love for Krishna and Srimati Radharani, our desires for our own happiness seem so foolish and crazy and perverted. For this contradiction, I see only one solution. The joy of the gopis lies in the joy of their beloved Krishna. So now Prabhupada is going to give us a further amplification of this paradox, this contradiction. And if you can start to see into it, you'll become a bit peaceful in Krishna consciousness more. You'll see the thing that's underneath it all that sometimes bewilders people. It bewilders materialists all the time, and sometimes even our devotees, when they're not sharp, it bewilders them. There is a paradox. We don't hide that. There is a contradiction. Now, what is it? Purport. The situation of the gopis is perplexing. For although they did not want personal happiness, it was imposed upon them. Now just think about that. They did not want personal happiness, but Krishna forced it on them. They never thought, we want to be happy, we're doing this to be happy. They simply thought, how to give pleasure to Krishna. But meanwhile, Krishna on his side is forcing pleasure on them, even though they never thought they wanted it. They never desired it. This is the mystery of Krishna consciousness. The solution to this perplexity is that Sri Krishna's sense of happiness is limited by the happiness of the gopis. Devotees at Vrindavan therefore try to serve the gopis, namely Radharani and her associates. If one gains the favor of the gopis, he easily gains the favor of Krishna, because on the recommendation of the gopis, Krishna at once accepts the service of a devotee. Lord Chaitanya, therefore, wanted to please the gopis instead of Krishna. But his contemporaries misunderstood him, and for this reason, Lord Chaitanya renounced the order of household life and became a sannyasi. Translation. When Lord Krishna sees the gopis, his joy increases, and his unparalleled sweetness also increases. The gopis think. Try to understand these insights you're getting. This is by the grace of Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. You are getting insights into the mind of the most perfected entities. You're getting insights into the consciousness of the most advanced persons in the material and spiritual world. You're getting direct vision. The gopis think, Krishna has obtained so much pleasure by seeing me. That thought increases the fullness and beauty of their faces and bodies. The beauty of Lord Krishna increases at the sight of the beauty of the gopis. And the more the gopis see Lord Krishna's beauty, the more their beauty increases. In this way, a competition takes place between them in which no one acknowledges defeat. Krishna, however, derives pleasure from the beauty and good qualities of the gopis, and when the gopis see his pleasure, the joy of the gopis increases. Once again, you're getting insight into what bhakti yoga is really about. Reciprocation. This is why we hate impersonalism. sometimes guests can't understand why we're so heavy about people who run around saying it's all one. Because if you say it's all one, you've destroyed any chance for reciprocation. Bhakti means two. Oneness becomes two eternally for the purpose of spiritual pleasure, Krishna's pleasure. This is the mystery of Achintya Veda Veda Tattva, simultaneous oneness and difference. Krishna sees the beauty of the gopis, and he derives pleasure. Then when the gopis see Krishna's pleasure, their joy increases, they become more beautiful. Krishna sees their increasing beauty, his pleasure increases. The gopis see that Krishna's pleasures increase, and their joy increases. Because their joy increases, their beauty increases, and then Krishna's pleasure increases. It goes on and on like that. Therefore we find that the joy of the gopis nourishes the joy of Lord Krishna. For that reason, the fault of lust is not present in their love. Purport. By looking at the beautiful gopis, Krishna becomes enlivened. And this enlivens the gopis, whose youthful faces and bodies blossom. This competition of increasing beauty between the gopis and Krishna, which is without limitations, is so delicate that sometimes mundane moralists mistake these dealings to be purely amorous. But these affairs are not at all mundane, because the gopis' intense desire to satisfy Krishna surcharges the entire scene with pure love of Godhead with not a spot of sexual indulgence. So Radhastami is a wonderful day for meditating on Lord Chaitanya's gift of pure love of Krishna. We should hear about these things. We should know about it, and this is our inspiration to go on. Krishna consciousness has two sides, the negative and positive. We discuss the miseries of material existence, we discuss the temporariness of everything in the material cosmos, and we discuss the glories of the spiritual world. Sometimes people, they think spirituality, as they call it, is just giving up desire, giving up the ego. Many people come here and they think, well, this must be a place where you give up the ego, you give up all desire. So we have to explain, this is a place where you give up your false identity and your false desires, and you become full of real ego and real desires. So the gopis, headed by Srimati Radharani, they're full of real, perfect ego and real, perfect desires. Once you understand real ego and real desires, then you can understand real love. Once you understand real love, then you can see that anything available in this material world is far from the standard. There is another natural symptom of the gopi's love that shows it to be without a trace of lust. Do you see all the trouble the author is taking to get a certain idea out of your head? He's really working hard, verse after verse. It's not there. No lust, no sense gratification, no sexual indulgence. Forget it. It's not there in Krishna's affairs. Verse after verse he's doing this. This is the beauty of Chaitanya Charitamrita. So authoritatively and scientifically, pure love of Krishna is established. It is a, to say the least, it's a brilliant work. It takes you some time to realize that. So any questions? Are they ready back there? Can someone tell me, are they nearing the... Okay, what's your question?
You were mentioning at the beginning of the talk how Prabhupada didn't necessarily encourage everybody to chant. he was criticized for that, but he didn't take any notice. I was just wondering if he came and died with his voting to show us that he was perfect voting, then what can be done if the nation gave me more time?
Well, are we showing the ecstatic symptoms of Lord Chaitanya? We are following Lord Chaitanya's footsteps in spreading Krishna consciousness, just like he traveled all over India. But otherwise, there's so much of Lord Chaitanya that we cannot imitate. We follow the instructions of Lord Chaitanya. Wherever you go, whomever you meet, teach them Krishna Tattva, the science of Krishna. So that's why we require guidance. Some devotees, they protested that to Srila Prabhupada. Well, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it says these things are the highest. And what was Prabhupada's answer? But you are the lowest. So don't jump like monkeys to the highest part of the tree immediately. He called the premature, artificial attempt to think that you're on this high level. He's called this monkey jumping. Like a monkey jumps from the ground up to a high branch. And he made a little jingle. First deserve, then desire, never aspire. In other words, from your low position, never think, oh, I could be a gopi, I'm like this and that. No, first do something to deserve, to have the desire. Just to have the desire, you have to deserve. So do service to Krishna to get to the point where you could desire, let me serve these exalted devotees. But never from the ground level aspire, oh, I want to be on the top of the tree. Any other questions? I mean, the fact is, when Prabhupada was present, no one would chant Jai Radhe in front of him. But, I mean, we're not going to take the heads off of devotees if they do that. But those who know, they know these things. There's a lot of things like that. But that's bhajan. It's just doing, you try to understand, bhakti is personal. He had his personal preferences. Those who know, we try to honor those preferences. He had his preferences about kirtan, dancing, so many things like that. Those who know, we try to honor them, but we're not going to go around, you know, I mean, forming an inquisition about it. Anyway, it's not like that. Other questions?
This relationship, Krishna's relationship with the devotees, conjugal and parental, any friendship relationship with the devotees? Mm-hmm. Is that relationship with the devotees?
If you read the books, you'll find that Madhurya Ras contains elements of all the other rasas. Any other questions? Yeah. This is a different one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was just wondering if you were saying talking about how the gopis would dress themselves for the pleasure of Krishna.
That's what Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami is talking about.
Yeah. And while you were reading that, I was thinking, well, what moves the gopis when they were dressed in stuff? Are they thinking, I'm dressing myself for the pleasure of the Lord, or are they thinking, I'm dressing myself?
Well, you'll have to ask them. The mood of a real devotee is that everything I'm doing is to contribute to Krishna's pleasure. But to just get back to your previous question, It takes some intelligence. Just because someone says Jai Radhe doesn't immediately mean, as you were implied at all, something wrong with them. These are things that have to be dealt with intelligently. Devotees are different. Different levels of advancement. Nevertheless, it is a fact. All I'm saying, it is a fact. Prabhupada would shut you up if you said it. That's all I'm saying. I'm not implying anything else. And I'm not asking anyone to imply anything else. It's fair enough. Yes. Names with deities, that's nice. Mainly I mention that so we understand the exalted and confidential nature of Srimati Radharani. I didn't mean to get into the whole other aspect, you know. Because there'll be other, because some will say that, you know, well, Prabhupada may have done it this time, but did he do it all the time? Or he may have done it, maybe it was just this person and not that person. So, therefore I'm not getting into all that. You understand? I'm just saying that to present the point that Srimati Radharani discussion is very exalted. That's all. That is the point. Everyone understand that?
Thank you. I watch it these days. I know someone who chants Jai Radhe and they're very exalted. He said,
get on the comm, you know, and global free forum, you know, start the combat, you know. Forget it. Not easy these days. Yeah, I'll give you another example. Dancing. This will give you a better insight. So, there was a time in this time where back in the early 70s, we all started dancing just the Swami step. And then the devotees started going to India, and then the dancing started getting very, you might call it, rambunctious. So, one devotee wrote Prabhupada a letter, one prominent leader at the time wrote Prabhupada a letter that, I hear that you don't like this kind of dancing. I hear that you even, because in one temple, Prabhupada actually stopped the dancing. So I never taught you to dance like that. So the prominent leader wrote Prabhupada and said, I hear you don't like that. You don't like the ecstatic dancing. So Prabhupada wrote back that, what do you mean I don't like the ecstatic dancing? I like dancing just like Lord Chaitanya. One foot in the other, both hands in the air. You can also feel ecstasy in this way. But then he said, well, if someone's actually feeling ecstasy, that is all right. So you see, you have to have some bit of a brain. And we always like to be fanatical. Any other questions? Yes. Just do your service out of duty, whether you feel like it or not. Okay, so if today you're liking to do your service, you don't persecute yourself because of it. Just make sure that tomorrow when you don't feel like it, you still do it. That is the point. That's why we have the rules and regulations of devotion, sadhana bhakti. Prabhupada's definition of sadhana bhakti means, as he said, you do it because I said so. In other words, injunction. It means never mind how you feel. You just do it because you're supposed to. That will gradually iron out all the ups and downs that plague us so much. Now, although Gopi Bhava is the most exalted thing, we can hear about it in an authorized way. But when it gets to be a disturbance is when devotees think, well, since it's the most exalted thing, I'll just hear about that and nothing else. Then there's big problems. Everything has to be done in the right way. Any other questions? All right. All glories to Prabhupada.